Right, we're in the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet. We've heard the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Parto and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who were both nitmas. They were both captured by the Malchut. And we saw the trial yesterday of Rabbi Elazar ben Parto and how he was released. Now, at the three lines from the bottom, on Yud Zayin Amud Bet, we're going to discuss the Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So, Atchu the Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, they brought Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion and Amulei, Amayka Sakta Be'oraita. Why did you learn Torah? So it's a very different answer than Rabbi Elazar ben Parto had an excuse, a reason for each thing. Here they ask Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, he says, "Kashir tzivani Hashem alokai." That's what God said to do. That's what I do. Mihad gazru alav the srifa. Right away they said that you're going to be put to death by srifa. Valishtola hariga, that his wife would be killed by the sword. Valbitola shev bekubashel zonot, that his wife should, that his daughter should be placed into the location where the harlots sit. So alav the srifa. Why was he punished? Or what was the reason that he was given this horrible punishment of Srifa? Shayah get Hashem be'it oti otav. That he used to enunciate the name of Hashem be'oti otav. Now Rashi says that get Hashem be'oti otav is that he used to say the arbo shtayim otiot, meaning the name of Hashem that included 42 letters, that's what he used to say. And Rashi adds a little line there, vosebo mashu chafetz. That he was able to use that name to manipulate Teva, manipulate the world, and he was able to do what he wanted with that name. But that he used to do, Oged Hashem Be'ilti Otav. That was one possibility. The other possibility, which is what Tosafot suggests over here, this is Rashi, he says, Rova Olam Mefashim, he says, most people explain, Shea Koreb Perush, Odiyot Shal Shem Yuchad, Odiyot Shal Shara Tevot, Vizein Lasot. So that he didn't read it. Well, we say Yudke Vovke, he didn't read it as Adol Shem, but rather he pronounced the word. Or says Ve'echa Obed Hochi. I mean, what's the question? Why was Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion even thinking about doing it? What was he matter himself to do such a thing? Ratzinan, we have explicit Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Elo she'en lehem chelek l'olam haba. Homer ein Torah min ha-shamayim. Ve'en tchiyat ha-meitim min ha-torah. Abba Shul Homer, af ho'get ha-shem bo'ti otav. Right, so Abishol adds in, one of the people, it's not even Zulcha, the whole Chayalam Abba, someone who enunciates, who specifically articulates the Shem Hashem, Be'oti Otav. And Tosfos goes on to speak about Be'oti Otav, again, a possibility that the idea of Be'oti Otav might mean not just saying, instead of Ad Hashem, Yudke Vavke, but actually the what we do. We also don't articulate the letters themselves. We don't say Yud, and then Hey. Vav and then, hey, we say Yudke, Vavke, that we don't even, not only do we not say the name, we do not even say the letters out. That also could be what the Choget Hashem Be'otiyotav is to say out the name Be'otiyotav with its letters. So now Gemara says, well, how did he ever do this? Gemara says, the Hitla made Avad. He was teaching, he was giving out, he was helping others understand to teach. Kedetan, you have a braita. You can't learn from the nations around you to act like them, but you are allowed to learn. You're allowed to learn about them in order to teach, understand what's wrong with it, and teach. So therefore, you have an ability when you're teaching, you have to be able to give over what is there, the Mesorah. Somebody says, okay, now you found the reason why he did it. Ella, my time on Yanish. So then why is he punished for this? So why is he punished? He was doing it in public. I mean, it's one thing to teach the Talmidim who need to learn, or those that need to learn it. You do it in a private setting. You do it in a one-on-one. But the fact that he was Doresh Birabim, and then he was Hoget Hashem Birabim, that already was too much. That was not enough consideration for the Kedushat Hashem. Was not giving enough deference towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore he's punished. And as Rashi brings down, Umi Kodesh Baruch Hu medaktek im tzadikim kechut ha-se'ara. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is medaktek with his tzadikim. He's so careful, and he pinpoints every little thing they do like kechut ha-se'ara, like a hair's breadth. So he looks at any little infraction, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes out and punishes the tzaddikim, because the pasuk says, Misara, Tzavid Mod, so that the Gemara darshins from that, that the tzaddikim are on the line for everything. So here, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who did something that technically, Me'ikar Aloch, the letter of the law, was permissible, but yet, in the Ruach Aloch, right, in the spirit of the Aloch, He wasn't as sensitive to the Shem Hashem or speaking out the Shem Hashem, and therefore he was punished. Now, Valishtol Ariga, why was his wife punished by having Ariga being put to the sword to death? Delo Michal Bey. She did not stop him. Which is unbelievable. Mikana Bru. Whereas the ability to stop something from happening, to object to something happening, Venu Mecheh doesn't stand up to it, then he is Ne'anashalav. Punished as if they did it, as if they are responsible for that which happened. Which is an unbelievable.
Is it about objecting even though there is...
Yeah.
Like when there's... No,
right, so that might be a separate halacha, which might be the Mishnah Berurah discusses first in Siman Aleph in Or HaChaim, but when do we ask you to give tochacha and to object to something and reject certain behavior, that it might be when it comes to Dinei D'oraita, we ask you to reject the behavior no matter what, and even if they're not going to listen, whereas by Dinei D'rabbanan, there it might be the principle of Mutov Shiyu Shogegim Be'altu Mezidim might apply in that case. You're not obligated to stand up or object when it's only a din derabbanan. But nevertheless, one has to stand up and make it clear that they separate themselves. I think it's an important factor that you have to show that you're not apart. I mean, that silence is acquiescence. So that means if there's a behavior going on and you're silent, the underlying assumption is you're a partner or a party to that behavior because you are condoning the behavior by being silent. One must speak up in order to reject that type of behavior. Again, even if you do not succeed in stopping them, you have to somehow separate yourselves from that behavior. And that's what Moshe says, Vayadat Korach. Vayadat Korach, he says to the people, you gotta leave, pull away. You have to separate yourselves from Korach. Because if you don't separate, you're gonna be swept up with Korach himself. Because you have to make some sort of objection to show that you're not a party to whatever is going on. But it's a huge responsibility, it's a scary thought, that here his wife was held accountable because of this fact that she was not mocheh in her husband, and that she had to know that her husband was being hoget Hashem in public, and that was against the Ruach Halacha. It's a big expectation, and it's a very scary thought that we are that responsible. Val bitol eshev b'kubel shel zonot, this is also a very scary part. His daughter was punished with having to sit in the harlot bin for the rest of her life. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, what was the reason that she was given such a harsh sentence? So Pamachat Haita Bito Melechet Lifnei Gdoli Romi. One day his daughter was walking in front of some of the big shots, the Roman big shots, the Roman authorities. Amru Kamana Ot Psiota. Look how beautifully she walks. Shall we be azu of this young lady? Miad Diktika Bipsiota. And then she was even more careful in the way that she walked. Behind Udama Rabbi Shimon Lakish, that Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "My dichtiv avone kevayis avuni," that the sin of my heel will surround me, will capture me. Avanot shadam dash bekebav, sins that people stomp with their heel. Balamazir misubim lo the yoma, didn't wait or await him for the day of judgment. And Rashi brings down two interpretations. What's dash bekebav? Over here, in the context, it means dichtik bepsiot. She was careful about how she walked. Kihacha. Mishnachrino is shadam torsam biraglav. These are averot that people ignore, or they just walk over them. Sheina chashuvim be'enav klum. They don't think they're important. Right. Vayikiv tishmon. Exactly. The same drasha that people just walk over them. They don't care. They're not considerate of these averot. They're going to pay a price for those on the Yom HaDin. Now over here, the pashtut, the Gemara, or the pashtut of what we're reading over here, is that she was walking in a tzanua manner. The Gdoli Romi take notice of her. Rashi, when he says diktika, it says lifsoa psiot naot, that she walked in a nice manner, and it's against the basic principle of kol kvodavad melech pnima. And that's the problem over here.
Rashi seems to imply that she became less tzanua in her walking after she heard this. I might have suggested that
the diktik psiota is that she was fine, that she walked in a very tsanua manner. So then she goes out of her way to walk in an even more tsanua manner, but in a way that will capture more attention. She was pleased with the attention, so she drew more attention to herself. So here, who was diktik bipsiota was someone who was walking in a manner or a form that was tsanua, but her tsniut also caught attention. So instead of using diktik bipsiota, generally would have been something that should have been more tsanua. Now here it became something that was the opposite. It drew attention, So then she went ahead and did something more to draw more attention to the fact of her, to her, or to the way she was walking. And because of that, she was punished because, again, the spirit of the law. That the walking in a tzanua manner is done in a manner that you also have the spirit of the law, which is that she should be tzanua. Here over here, she was using the tzniut to draw attention, which is the exact opposite of what the purpose of digdeik b'siota, the opposite of what you would have you want someone to do when they are tzanua, is not to draw attention, but rather to deflect attention. And here she drew more attention to herself because of that. And we have to say again that Kodesh Baruch Hu's medakdeik imatzadikim kechuta seara. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz
quotes from the Mesilat Yesharim and says that the problem over here of digdeik b'siota was not the fact that she walked or that she was tzanua, but rather that she got hanah from it, that she took benefit from the mitzvah, she enjoyed the mitzvah, and that was the problem. She wasn't doing it for the sense of the tzniut or for the sake of the mitzvah, but rather for the personal benefit that she got from the tzniut. She took some sort of personal enjoyment out of the mitzvah, and therefore she was punished, which again is something, is a huge or high standard, that one does not get any hanoah, does not get any ulterior motive inside of their mitzvah. That's a very, very high standard to hold the people to.
Continues. Okay, b'shah shiatzu shloshtan, when each one of them, the three of them, were taken out to be executed, tzadku aleihem et din. They did tziduk adin. Hu amar, they each quoted a pasuk. Atzur tamim palo, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the tzur, the rock, tamim palo, his actions are righteous, is just. Bishto amra, kelim muna ve'en avel. Shem is a true, right, the true God, ein avel, there's no questions, there's no perversion in his justice. Ve'bito amra, gedol ha'itza, v'rav ha'adliya,
that Hashem is great in counsel, mighty in his deeds, that his eyes are always watching on the ways of every man, to give each person the ways in their ways and the consequences of their deeds. Meaning here, the play on the word of Darchei b'nei Adam, the ways of people, the play on the word of course, is Derech, or Darcha, that the steps that she took, and therefore Hashem paid her back for those steps that she had taken. He paid her back in the Midah, Keneged Midah.
So you see, Amar Rabbi, Kama Gdolim, Tzadikim, Alalu, how wonderful these Tzadikim, these tradition is. Dam Lahem Shlosh Mikraot. They had three, each one of them had a Pasuk, Shal Tzdukadim, Shal Tzdukadim. The moment that they've been taken out, executed, that comes to their mind, exactly, the proper Pasuk to be matzdik aleihem et din. Tanu Banan, kishachala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, this is like a flashback. Here we have the story of the court date of Rav Chanina ben Tradion, as well as his being found guilty. Now the Gemara gives you some background to this, which, with the case of Tanu Banan, kishachala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, when he became ill, which is the Rebbe of Rav Chanina ben Tradion, Rechina ben Tradion, bar Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, Vakro, he came to visit him. Amar lo Chanina achi, my brother, that Kodesh Baruch Hu min Hashemayim, they put them into position of power. They already destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. They burnt down the Eichal, the Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKodashim, our God, Chasidav, and they've killed out the Chachamim, and they've killed out the wonderful Jews. Vavda et Tuvav, and all those that were good, they have destroyed. Vadayin hi kayemet, and it's still in power. Well, if all that's happened and they're still in power, that's a siman, min hashamayim, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants them in power. V'ani shamati alecha, and I heard about you, shata yoshev osek b'torah, makil kilot b'rabim, that you are teaching Torah in Rabim without any consideration for the fact that they have been gozer, that one may not gather people together b'rabim. V'sefer Torah munach lecha b'chekecha, and you're sitting there with the Sefer Torah, reading as if nothing had happened, as if there was no gzerah. So, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion says, "Rachamim min Hashemayim, they'll be merachem on me." Samalo, back responds, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma responds, "Ani omer lecha dvarim shel tam." I'm giving you explanations with reason, with tangible, real reasons behind them. And you're giving me these hope and just statements, which is okay. Hopefully, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will help me. That's not a response to what I'm saying. Tama ani, I will not be surprised that you and your Sefer Torah will not go up in flames. Now, I don't know if this is, the Gemara in many other places says that it's Right? It's like somebody says something and then it comes true. So I don't know, over here, the Gemara doesn't mention that, but over here he says this, and that's what's going to happen to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyo. I don't know if it's because he said it that became the Gzeira of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyo. From doing, right. Although he's not talking about his Hoget, Hashem Belatil Tav, which is really what he got punished for. It was not being Makil Rabim, the Torah Berabim. But it's interesting. I don't know. I don't have an answer why. Samar lo Rabbi, mani the chayel olam haba. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyo says, okay, am I ben olam haba? So, Amar lo, klo maseh bel yodcha. Tell me something good that you did, that maybe that would bring you to olam haba. Amar lo, ma'ot shel purim, it nitchafu li b'ma'ot shel tzedaka. It's the story we saw yesterday, that the ma'ot shel purim got mixed up with the ma'ot shel tzedaka. V'chilaktim l'aniim, and I gave them out to the aniim. So over here, when Rashi brings this down, he says that these are ma'ot for sudat purim. And they got mixed up with the aniim, and I gave them, I thought they were part of tzedaka, I gave them away, and I never collected back from them. So I gave my own personal money, ended up going into tzedakah, and I never took it back. That was one of the reasons Rashi gave yesterday. We saw the other reason that Rashi gave yesterday, the possibility that I had ma'ot shel purim, which were matanot li'aniim, and I nitchafu tzedakah, and I gave them out as tzedakah anyway. And I then had to replace them out of my personal pocket. And then Tosfos gave the last possibility, which was that the Rishi said that the arnaki was ma'ot purim, and he thought it was a tzedakah, and he called the aniim over, and they really were ma'ot purim, and therefore he should have told the aniim, I can't give it to you, but nevertheless he didn't want to embarrass the aniim. So therefore he gave out the money anyway, and mistoma, Tosfos says he replaced it from his house. But all of those are a tremendous thing, that he gave out of his own pocket to suffice or to take care of this situation. Amar lo, im kein michelkecha yehi chelki. My chelek should be like your chelek, umigoralecha yehi gorali. And my destiny should be like your destiny, meaning that you're Bein Olam Haba, and I should follow in that same way. So Amar lo yu ma'imim milatim ad shniftar Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Yosef ben Kisma passes away. V'chu kol gdolei rumei romi lekavro. That all the honorable government officials, the authorities of Rome that were there, went along to bury him. V'isbidua espet gadol. They gave him a tremendous eulogy, which is very surprising. Again, in context, it's extremely surprising. We're talking about here about the Hadrianic persecutions. Time at a time when the Romans were heavily persecuting the Jews. And here you have the Gdoli Romi at the funeral of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, which is surprising in the context of the situation here, of the way the government viewed the Jews at that point in time, and the way they treated and persecuted the Jews at that time. Uvechazaratam matza'u the Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon. On the way back, they found Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon, which is also interesting over here, is that why wasn't Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon at the Hespedim and the Kevura of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma? Obviously, you could say he went back early, he ran back fast, but either way, it's interesting that he wasn't present, and now the Gdoli Romei are approaching him after he's already not at the funeral. So I don't know, you know, if he didn't attend, or for whatever reason he wasn't there. Sheyoshevo seik b'torah makil kilot b'rabim. The Roman authorities pass him on the way back. Sefer Torah munach lo b'cheko, just like the way that Rabbi Yossi Kisma had suggested or described. If you v'karchu b'sefer Torah, they took him right away, and they wrapped him up in the Sefer Torah. So just, again, juxtaposed to what just happened. They were just at the funeral of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, and on the way back, they're wrapping up Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon in the Sefer Torah to burn him. Right? V'kifua b'chavlei zmurot, they put on twigs, flint, they put around him to light the fire. V'tzitua b'enet or. And they looked him on fire. They brought sponges of water, the wool that were filled with water. They soaked him in water. They placed him on his heart in order to delay his death, to prolong the agony of the persecution. His daughter says, Abba, erecha b'kach, how can I look at you like this? How can I see you like this? Rashi says, her question is, Klomar, zuis charashul Torah. This is the reward of Torah. I mean, how can I look? How can I see this be your end after you've taught so much Torah? Again, we see that in the Asirei Rugei Malchut on Tisha B'Av, on Yom HaKippurim coming up, where the Malachim say, Zu Torah, Zu Schara. And Kosh Baruch responds, everybody be silent, one more word, and I'll turn the world to Tohu. Amala, Imalei ani nisrafti levadi haya davar kasheli. If I was being burnt alone, it would have been difficult for me to be sovel, for me to take it. Achshav, shani nisraf b'sefer Torah ami. Now that I'm being burnt in the Sefer Torah, me, mishem efakeshel bonashel Sefer Torah, yubakeshel boni. the one who will take the revenge for the Sefer Torah that's being burnt, that will ensure that retribution is given out, will take retribution on my behalf as well. So the other way to explain what she was saying over here, Rashi says, Ere Bekach, Zutra Zuchara, says, Ere Bekach, how can I see you burning? Like, I mean, a simple question. How can I watch you like this, Abba? How can I see you in such pain? Amrulo Tamidav Rebbe, Mata Ro'eh. What do you see? So now, Tosa says, why were they asking him this? Mata Ro'eh? So Tosa says, look, seems like they, in their own eyes, they thought there should have been some sort of, something happening here. This was a moment of tremendous persecution of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradjo and the burning of a Sefer Torah. So they felt like there should be some sort of revelation from a Kadosh Baruch Hu at this point in time, or that Malachim, or some other thing that was happening that he would see at this moment. Or they heard noise, and they didn't know what the noise was, and they're asking, what is the noise? So now what was it? Mata Ro'eh, Amar Lehem, Gilyon, Nisrafim, Votiot, Porchot, beautiful night. I see the parchment burning, but the letters are flying off, are leaving. In that they can burn the physical Sefer Torah, but they can't take away the Torah itself. The words of the Torah, right, the commands, the practice of the Torah will not be lost. His students recommend to him, open up your mouth, let the fire go in so that you should die in a quicker fashion. So he says, better it should be taken away by the one who gave it, and that I should not commit suicide, I should not accelerate my death over here. So now this is interesting from the perspective of euthanasia, suicide. Okay, we'll discuss it briefly now. It is a big sugya. This is one of the main mekorot for euthanasia as well as suicide. Amalo Kautzteniri, the executioner, says to him, Rebbe, Imanimar Bev shall have it. If I raise the fire, and I remove the wool that they put on your heart, will you bring me up to Olam Haba? Meaning that if I accelerate your death over here, will you take me with you to the Chayim Haba? He said, yes. He raised the fire, and he took off the Subugim Shel Semer, and he died quickly at that point in time. Now this Kalstorini, Afu Kafatz Benafalu Tochor, he himself, his executioner, jumped into the fire with Rav Hanina ben Tradion after he had done this on his behalf. Yetzdab at Kol Amra, a voice from heaven comes out, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, V'Kalstorniri Mezumanim L'chein L'chayelam Abba. Not only is it Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, but also his executioner are both going to Chayelam Abba. And now we have for the third time here, Bachar Rabbi. Rabbi cries, Amar Yishkone Olamo b'sha'achat. There's some people gain their Olam Haba in a moment. Yishkone Olamo become a shanim, and others that take many years in order to gain their Olam Haba. I mean, a lifetime to gain their Olam Haba. And here, this individual in a single moment of inspiration is able to gain his Olam Haba. So now, as far as suicide and euthanasia here, you have to look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, Ve'al yichabela ba'atzmo. Person should not commit suicide. Omer Rebbeinu Tam, where a person is fearful of the Ovdat Chachamim forcing them into doing an Avera, through torture, he won't be able to stand up to the torture. One is permitted to commit suicide. The Tosas brings as proof to this the story in Gittin, on one of the stories that you learn in the Yagadita that relates to Tisha B'Av, about these young children that were taken captives by the Romans, and they were being shipped away, whether it was the boys and the girls. The boys were being shipped away for Mishkav Zachar, the clone, and the girls for to be Zonot, and they all commit suicide over there. So you see that the Midrash, or the Gemara, discusses how these children who were being taken away and were going to be tortured, or not really tortured here, they were already in captivity, they were going to be used for Averot, that they decided by themselves to commit suicide in order to protect themselves. Again, the Gemara has no explicit permission or heter for one to take their one's life. We have the Rambam, the famous Rambam, who says that one in a position where they're not allowed to take their life, meaning that there's no requirement of Yerak V'Yavor who takes their life, that they are chayab, that they are responsible, and they'll be paid for the fact that they took their own lives. That you're not allowed to take away your life where you're not permitted to. And over here we have the Rabbeinu Tam saying that if you're tortured and you're going to succumb to the torture, that maybe you should commit suicide. We have the story of Shaul, which is one of the main stories also where the Rishonim discuss the fact that Shaul commits suicide in order not to be captured by the Plishtim or tortured by the Plishtim. And over here we have the story of Hanina ben Tradin, who's unwilling to give up his life. In general, we do have a Mesorah of those that do commit suicide. It's a famous story in the Holocaust of a Beit Yaakov that was captured by the Nazis. And they put them into the Beit Yaakov, and they had them dress up. And they knew that night they were going to bring the Nazi soldiers, and they were going to sleep with the girls. And the girls didn't want to do, they were refusing, they were unwilling to be participants in this. And they write a letter explaining their position and what they were questioning. And the head of the Beit Yaakov, I think there they decided together they were going to commit suicide, and they all commit suicide in order not to be over that Avera. So you see, we have a long Masora of people committing suicide in order not to be captured by the enemy and forced to do Averot, that they are obviously in times of Shmad that were not acceptable to them, and they did not want to succumb to that, and therefore they commit suicide. One of the exceptional cases is brought in the Beit Yosef in the time that there was the time of the Crusaders, or sometime around there was persecution of Jewish cities. They were laying siege, or they were coming to attack the Jewish city, and they were afraid that they were going to come and forcibly take away the children and convert them to whether it was Christianity, whatever they were going to force the children to do. There was one rab in the city who said, better that we kill the children in the city than we allow them to fall into the hands of the enemy, and they become, you know, they'll be converted to the other religions, they'll be taken captive and sent away to do Averot. So he says, better that we kill them. Another rab in the city said that you can't do this. It's against the Torah, against the Gemara to kill others. You have to be somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He will save you. There is always Hatzalah until you're at the grip of death. One has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save them. The Rav ignores him and continues to shech the children. This other Rav says to him, you will die, if I am correct, you will die an awful, horrible death. And that was the, you know, part of the story. Later on, what ends up happening is that the enemy, so those that were sieging the city, release the city. They do not in the end conquer the city. And those children that he shechted, they would have been saved, because in the end they backed off and they would not have been captured. And as the story goes, is that later on this Rav who had shechted those children was captured, and then he was taken by the enemies, and he was skinned alive and had sand placed between his skin and his flesh to cause him tremendous pain. So that it came true, this idea. So the Beit Yosef also quotes that as another example of where maybe it's not permissible to kill or commit suicide in situations where you're going to have to succumb to the torture. So again, since there are no clear guidelines, it's a very difficult balance and a difficult differentiation over here between the two. It's something that does not have clear halacha, and it's something that we see mixed messages through Chazal about this. Maybe Midrashim that condone it, like the Gemara in Gittin, and other places where we see the suicide was, and over here Gemaras that seem to, and by Shaul, which we seem to have a negative view of the committing suicide in those instances. Right, the other thing is euthanasia over here, which is that he allows the Kalsteridin, he allows an outside party here to accelerate the fire, to have him die in a more expedient manner. This Gemara is the Gemara in Ketubot with Rebbe. Rebbe, who is on his deathbed, and his Amma over there tells the one who's hammering, he used to hammer, that would help him out. She tells him to stop, and also where she throws down the vessel in order to stop the Talmidim from davening, to allow Rebbe to die. Right there, the Gemara seems to clearly indicate that it's permissible to take one's life, or daven for one's life to go faster, or to stop those individuals from continuing or persisting his life in such a horrible quality of life and tremendous pain, that the Amma there does it and is never criticized by Chazal. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan by Reish Lakish, right, very good. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, there they davened because he had gone crazy after he lost Reish Lakish. So they davened that he should pass away. So there it's davening. There's davening, which is also another question about whether you can daven for someone to die. Here we're talking about active. She did act. She took action. She stopped somebody from hammering. She threw down the barrel. She took activity to stop it or to force his death. But that was keeping him alive. That was keeping him alive. We knew that the hammering was keeping him alive. She stopped. Right. So there, the differentiation might be, and heard from Schechter, quotes over here, that the difference between taking someone off life support and stopping from them hammering is that life support is something that's essential for one to live. So if you take it away, you're sure they're dying. The hammering, as you're saying, It helped in this situation. But nobody needs a hammer to stay alive. That's not an essential part of someone's living. Therefore, to stop the hammering is permissible. So he differentiates along those lines. And over here also, if this Gemara fits into this puzzle about when are we allowed to accelerate death, when are we allowed to help someone die when there's tremendous pain involved. I just want to, I'm briefly touching on the subject, not going deeply in there. Very, very difficult and deep topics over here that cannot be just done on a regular achat. All right, so now the Gemara says about Bruria de Bitu de Rabbi Meir. Bruria, who was the wife of Rabbi Meir, Brate de Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, she is the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon. That means Avai, that means her sister is the one in the Kuba Zonot. Amrala Zila bi Milta Diatva Chatai be Kuba Zonot. I'm uncomfortable with the fact, it's embarrassing, it's horrible that my sister has to sit in this Kuba Zonot. You have to bring her out. You have to get her out, Rabbi Meir. Bitu's wife. She's the wife of Rabbi Meir, the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, the sister of the other daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, who was put into the Kuba Shel Zonot. So Shokol Tarkava di Dinari, she took 3 kav worth of dinarim, Rabbi Meir, was Avamar. He said, Ilo it avid by Surah, if she has stayed true to her faith and has not given up, right, has not slept with any man, mit avid Nisa, then a miracle will happen. Yavdo Yisura, if she succumbed, lo it avid la Nisa, then there will be no miracle here. Azal nakat nafsheki chad parsha. He dressed up as one of the cavalrymen, the chariot drivers, meaning someone that was coming to solicit Ezona. Amrlash meaningly says, listen, he goes to his sister-in-law and says, listen to me. I want to solicit you to do an avera. Amrlay distanano. I'm a nida. I can't. Samala mitrachana. Probably the word here should also be mitrach. I'll wait till it's finished, till you're right. I have patience. So Amrlo, Nefishin Tuva. There are many better women, the Shapiri Minai, that are better than me here. So she's deflecting. Amar Shmamina, lo avda Isura. So that's Shmamina. From here you can see that she didn't do an Isura. Called Ate Amrlo Yochi. So everybody who comes, she gives them the same line, and then she protects herself. Azal Gabe Shomer Dida. He went to the man, the person who was responsible for her, right, her keeper. Amrlo, Ava Neale. Shabbat, give her to me. I want to take her. I'm embarrassed. I'm scared of the authorities. I'm going to give it to you, then they're going to hold me responsible. Amalei, shakul tarkava de dinara. Take this large sum of money. Pagal palach or pagal avilach. Half for you and half for bribes, so that you can bribe the authorities. So he goes to him, b'chishami mayobit. When I run out of money, what am I going to do? So the question of what was he doing with the money and bribing the authorities? Rashi said he was bribing the authorities, and they'll get used to getting the bribes, and then they'll insist on the bribe all the time. Or, what Tosas says over here, the possibility is that when he was responsible for these women, he had to pay a tax per head. Per zonah that he was responsible for, he had to pay a tax, and he had to earn it through the zonot that he rented out here in that keep to pay the tax. So now over here, they're going to tax him based on the extra woman that was there, based on this woman that should have been there, and yet she's not going to be productive for him. She's not productive for him, then how is he going to pay back the money? Although it sounds like from here, she was never productive for him at this point in time. So Amalei Ema Elokad Meir Aneni Umitatzalt says that the God of Meir will answer you and you will be saved. You have to say, right? You all have this lachash incantation. Anytime you're in trouble, say Elokad Meir Aneni. The God of Meir, answer me, and that will save you. Amalei Mi Emer Dahachi, right? Ego. So he says, you go out, right, how do you know it's going to work? I mean, what type? You're telling me this thing, I'm not going to rely on this thing, it sounds like a hocus pocus. So, there were these two dogs there that used to eat people. Shoko Kalo, he throws a piece of clotted dirt at them. He took a clotted dirt and threw it at them. They came head over to eat him. So, Amar, Elukad Meir, Aneni, the God of Meir, answer me. Shavkua, they left him alone, right, V'yahavale. So then he gave it to him. The Sofish Tama Milta Bay Malka. So they heard about it. They got wind of the fact that he released the Zona, and they found out about him. Atiu. They brought him to be judged. Askual is Kifa. They brought him up onto the scaffold, onto the executioner's scaffold, to the gallows. Amar, Rabbi Meir told him, Elokad Meir Aneni. I'm in big trouble now. They're about to execute me. Bekad Meir Aneni. Achtua. They brought him back down. And they were unable to, whatever, for whatever reason, there was some technical problem, they couldn't execute him. Amulei, my high. They said, what is this thing? What happened over here? And then he spills all the beans about what happened. So Atu, this is unbelievable. Chakku l'dmutei de Rabbi Meir pitcha de Romi. They went ahead at the doorway, the gateway to Rome. They carved out the face of Rabbi Meir in the doorway. The most wanted list. You know, the most wanted list. Amru kol dechazi de partufu adein laite. Whoever sees this guy, bring him in. We want him. He's the most wanted on the list. Yom chada chazu, they saw him. Somebody spotted him. Rahu batre. They ran after him. Rahat mi kamayo. He ran away from them. Al the bezonot. This is very interesting here. He saved his sister-in-law from the bezonot. And now where's he? He runs into the harlot's den. Because then they would say, that's for sure not Rabbi Meir. He would never run into the harlot's den. Igdami bishule of the chavim chaza. He saw some non-kosher food being cooked. Tamash ba umatak baha. Right, my kid's favorite trick. He stuck one finger in and he licked the other finger. So he stuck it into the non-kosher food, but he licked the other finger. They thought he ate from it. Igdami at Eliyahu. That Eliyahu came idmilu kizona. He looked like a zona to them, and karachte, he hugged him. He hugged them as if they were familiar with each other, the zona. Rechas v'shalom. Vi Rabbi Meir have a law of avidochi. If that was Rabbi Meir, he certainly wouldn't have done any of these actions. All these actions are not appropriate for Rabbi Meir, so it certainly can't be Rabbi Meir, and they leave him alone. Kam arak atle bavel. He ran away. He got up and ran away to Bavel. I mean, the Romans are persecuting the Jews in Eretz Israel. By the time he runs away to Bavel, Igadamri mehai maseh. Some people say because of this incident where he was embarrassed about what had happened or the end of the incident. Igadamri maseh de Bruya. Some say that was from the maseh of his wife. Bruya, the problem that came up is the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin. Bruya says that the Gemara Chachamim say about women, Nashim datan kalot, that they can be persuaded or they can be seduced. And Rabbi Bruya says, no way, it's no such thing, I don't believe it. So Rabbi Meir asks one of his Talmidim to solicit his wife Bruya every day and to pressure, and she refuses. One day she finally acquiesces to the student and says, okay, I'll do it. And then the student reveals to her that he's a student of Rabbi Meir, and he wanted to prove it. She is embarrassed beyond belief about it, and she commits suicide. She commits suicide on the spot about the embarrassment from it. Rabbi Meir, because of his embarrassment about that, when he found out about it, leaves town. And he wants to go to Bavel because of what happened to Bruya. I don't know if he's embarrassed about the fact that she acquiesced in the end, or is embarrassed about the fact that his wife committed suicide, that he brought her to that point where she committed suicide. Right. Tan Rabbanan. Holich. This is going back to our mission. Holich leads Dadin Ulekarkom. Person who goes to a stadium or karkom is a group of soldiers laying siege to the city. And he sees over there nechashim. Rashi says the nechashim are those that are mnechesh umichashif. I mean, those are those people who are diviners and sorcerers. Vetachavirin, and you see there charmers. Bokyun umokyun umolyun veluliyon. Blorin and salgorin. All of these items, which Rashi says are different types of clowns, right? Different types of entertainment, but entertainment through leitzanut. This is a gathering for frivolity. Right? That didn't go with leitzim, but instead he didn't go with moshav leitzim, but rather he sits in the places with a Torah Hashem. Halamata. You see that these items bring a person to Bittul Torah. So now we're going to see, again, the Gemara is going to discuss this over and over again here. The question is the whole problem of attending these events or seeing these performers is a problem of Bittul Torah? And that's what we're dealing with over here. The Ikar problem here is Bittul Torah. Or is there an inherent problem with the Leitzanut? And a side effect of Leitzanut is also brings to Bittul Torah. There's two problems. One is Leitzanut and the other one is the Bittul Torah, which might be the case we'll see in a second. Reminu, we have a question. Ochim Leitzadion, you're allowed to go to the stadiums. Mubtar, Mubnesh, Tzavach, Umatzil, because you can scream out and save the person. Ulukarkum, Mubtar, Mubnesh, Shuv Midina. So then also in the Karkum, it's Mubtar for settling, keeping the settlement alive. Uvachaloit Chashevim, as long as he doesn't join them. If he does join the Masur, somebody says, Kashi, it's Tadinin, it's Tadinin. Stadiums are a problem, because now you said it's stadium, it's mutar to go to the stadium. Before you said Asur to go, Kashi Karkum, Akarkum. Before you said it was impermissible to join the siege, and here you say you're allowed to go visit the siege. So now the Gemara says, okay, Bishlam, Akarkum, Akarkum, the siege is not a question. It's a question if he joins them. Here's why he's not joining them. So now when they lay siege to the city, you think about this, they're there for months on end. They sit there, they could sit there for 2 years, 3 years, they're laying siege to a city, The soldiers are bored beyond belief. They have nothing to do at that time. Think about that. They didn't have radio. They didn't have TV. They didn't have anything to do while they were waiting there. So they used to bring in entertainers to entertain them at that time. So that's what it means, that you can't join the Karkum. You can't sit with the Karkum and to lay siege to the city, because you can't join, either because of the fact that they're laying siege to the city and you don't want to be a party to it, or because of this late Tzanut that takes place there. So therefore you can't join them. Why can you go to the siege? You go to the siege of the city and try to convince them to save the Jews who are inside the city, to save them from the soldiers when they break into the city, or to get them to be released from the city. But you can go there to try to beg the soldiers and ask from them the possibility of freeing some of the Jews that are in the city. So that's the difference between the two cases. Why does one say you can go to a state and one say you can't? It's a machloket tanaim. The Tanya, you have a bright. You can't go to the stadium. Moshav leitzim. So that's the reason you can't go to the stadium. It's because it's a place of frivolity. What do they do in the stadium? They have the animal fights. They have the gladiator fights. It's all form of entertainment, and many times it's very poor in terms of the morals that are displayed. They're very poor. You have innocent people or prisoners that are being thrown to animals to be eaten, so on and so forth. So that's not the proper place for a Jew. Rabbi Natan Matir, says you can, for two reasons you can go. He's able to scream out and save. If they have a Jew there, and they're going to throw the Jew in to be part of the animal fights or to be eaten by the animals, you can scream out and try to beg the authorities not to throw him in, to free him or to release him. The other possibility is that, I don't know if they did this, like in the gladiator fights, they used to vote which gladiator won, who they should keep alive, who they should kill. Same thing, maybe who they should throw at the animals. Maybe he would be a part of the vote that was there, and therefore he could sway the vote in favor of the Jew if he knows that. The other reason to be there is if there's a Jew being killed, he can be for an aguna. He can be the testimony to know that her husband was killed, so that we know that she could get married now. Tarabanan. Now even more so. You can't go to the theaters and the circus. Rashi again explains, Mizavel Zablim is that they take care of the needs or the necessities of the Ovid Kochavim. And Rashi again said that's pure Ovid Kochavim. On the other hand, Tosfos over here says Mizablim is not that. Rabbi Daniel Pamberish, Mizablim is Mizabchim. They're makriv the abodah zarah, not they're taking care of its needs, you know, in terms of monetary donations and eating and drinking there, but rather they're bringing zvachim to the abodah zarah. Chachamim omrim, makom shemizavlim asur, mipnei chashad avodat chachamim. When they're places where they do the mizavah, when they're mizaveach, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rashi, that they take care of the needs, then you can't go there. Makom shem mizavlim sham, asur mipnei moshav leitzim. In a place where it's not mizavel, then it's a separate issue that it's a moshav leitzim, it's a place of frivolity, which is unbecoming. My binayu, what's the difference between them? Tosfos points out, what do you mean, my binayu? Exactly this binayu, in a place where they're not being mizavel, Rabbi Meir would say it's mutar, and Chachamim would say that it was asur in that case. That's the difference between them. So what's the question? Is that, the question is, in a place where they are mizavel, what's the difference between them? Not just in a place where they're not mizavel. So Rabbi Chanim asura, nasav natan ika binayu. If you did transact with them, what's the story of the transaction? So according to Rabbi Meir, only in a place where they're mizavel is it a problem. If you transacted, then the transaction will be asur. Whereas if it's in a place where it's just moshav leitzim, if you transacted with them, then the transaction on the monies that you got from there will not be impermissible for you to use or for others to get. Then according to the Chachamim, anything that is transacted at these places is a problem. And therefore, asav natan, if you went ahead and transacted with them, then it's asur. Darash Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Ma'ichtiv. What does the pasuk mean? Ashrei ish shalach v'atzat v'shayim uv'derech hatim lo amad uv'moshev leitzim lo yeshav. V'chi machar shalo lach. If he didn't go, heichan amad. How could he be standing there? Machar shalo amad. If he didn't stand there, heichan yeshav. How is he sitting there? Machar shalo yeshav, heichan latz. If he's not sitting there, how is he joining in the frivolity? Elo lo malach shimalach. If you go to these places, sofo lamod, you end up tarrying there. V'im amad. If you tarry there, sofo leshev. Then you're going to end up sitting there and enjoying. When you sit, sofo lalutz, you're going to come to be frivolous, vimlatz, and when you're frivolous, alava katuba mer, the pasuk says, im chachamta, chachamta lach, velatzta levadcha tisa. So if you took wisdom, if you were wise and took wisdom, the wisdom is for yourself. Whereas when it comes to late, levadcha tisa, you will take it alone. Meaning that you will be alone, or that alone will accompany you, and you will have nothing. So get the chachma, take wisdom, and don't do latzanut. Amar Rav Elazar, Kolamit Lotzeitz, Isurim Bayim Alav. Anybody who is frivolous, Isurim come to him. Shinemar, So don't be frivolous, because maybe Mosrechem over here would tighten your chains, but the Gemara is learning not Mosrechem chains, but Isurim, that they will increase, intensify your Yisurim. Really, you should read the Matubinu Minaychu or Be'ina Minaychu. You don't put Matuta and Be'ina, which are basically synonymous. Then I'm begging you, or I'm beseeching you, I'm saying, please, do not be frivolous. So you should not have Yisurim, you should not be afflicted. So here he's giving his little mustard smooth before he starts to shear. Amar of Katina, anybody who is frivolous, his panosa goes away. Shinemar
Mashach
Yado et Lotzitzim. Hashem pulls back his hand from those that are frivolous. What do you mean pull back his hand? His hand is Poteach et Yadech, the one who Hashem who provides for all. Right, then he pulls that hand back when you are Lotzitzitz, when you are frivolous. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish Kolomit Lotzitz, Nofel B'Einom. Anybody who's frivolous falls into Ganem, Shinemar Zayd Yahir, Leitz Shemo, Oseb Evrad Zadon. Ve'in Evra, Elegeinom. Evra is Geinom. Shinemar Yom Evra, Hayomahu. That day, that day of din, that unbelievable day, is Yom Evra, Hayomahu, is the day of judgment, the day of Geinom, where the Yisraim will be punished.
Zayd Yahir, the one who is willful and boastful, late Shemo, he will be called a scoffer of one of frivolity. And therefore,
Deb Evra Zadom, he's going to be captured in Evra because of his actions, because of his iniquity. Rabbi Oshia, call him it Yahir, no fell be Geinom. Anybody who is haughty, then falls in Geinom. Shinemar Zayd Yahir, late Shemo. So we use the word Yahir from the word Yehura, and someone who is haughty. Sebe Evra Zadon, Ven Evra, Elegeinom, Shinemar Yom Evra, Hayomahu. Amar Rabbi Chanilai, Bar Chanilai, which is obviously a mistake here. So you have to read Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Bar Chanilai, Kol Mitlotzeitz, Goreim Kliya Leolam. Anybody's frivolous causes destruction come to words, Shinemar. Bata, now, Al Tilotzitzu, do not be frivolous, Peni Chazku Mosrechem. Maybe they will tighten your chains, Ki Kala Venechvetza Shamati. So that's the end of the Pasuk, which is Kala Venechvetza Shamati, that I hear of. Kala means to be destroyed entirely, wiping out. So therefore it will be destruction and charitzim and grooves dug in, meaning that it will be complete destruction. So what's the beginning of the pasuk, which talks about Leitz Anut, the end of the pasuk is that it will end up being a complete destruction. So Amar Rabbi Elazar Kashehi Shetchilata Yisurim Sofakliya, that frivolity, this Leitz Anut, is bad because its beginning is Yisurim and its end is destruction. Because the beginning of the pasuk is talking about Mosrechem, which is the Yisurim. Then the pasuk talks about Kala, which is Kliya, being wiped out. Dorish Rav Shimon Pazi, Ash Yaish Asher Lo Alach. What does it mean, a person, or Lo Alach Vatzat V'Shaim? What does that mean? That's a person, Asher Lo Alach, Tartiyot V'Karkasiyot. That's good. Blesses the person. Praiseworthy is the one who didn't go to theaters and circuses Shol Dei Kuchavim. V'derech HaTeim Lo Amad, and in the way of sinners he hasn't stood, Zeh Shalom Amad Beh Kangi. Here it says, Kangiyun. He didn't stand or he didn't participate in this. Kangiyun, which Rashi says, it's Seydat Chayai De Klavim. It's the capturing of animals by dogs. So I don't know if this is some sort of dogs they let loose on animals and they capture them. It's like sort of herding or a game, or it's hunting. I don't know what it's fox hunting, whatever it is. It's all done for frivolity and happiness. I mean, it's done in fun. So you shouldn't be a part of it. Umashav leitzim lo yeshev. Shouldn't sin amongst the leitzim. Shouldn't yeshev b'tach pulot. Shouldn't sin amongst those that are planning or thinking of devious ways. Shema yomar adam ho v'lo alachti. L'tartiyot u'kakiyosiyot v'lo amati b'kangiyon. Somebody says, I didn't do all these things. I should be okay. Elech v'et gereb shina. Let me go to sleep. Let me enjoy. I'll sleep my days away. Not do anything bad. So tamalomer b'torato yegei yomam v'layla. No, at the end, you have to learn Torah day and night. Meaning that, true, you have to stop these things, but there's still a positive that you have to do. You have to actually do with that time that you don't spend in the theaters and in the circus. You got to use that time towards Torah. All right, why don't we stop over here? It's a good place to stop.